You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. You can watch, listen, tweet, dial us up, email, all the above. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and it's free. You can download the Peacock app and join us. You can also join Chat Row if you like, and you can listen on our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering 362. It just dawned on us about 10 minutes ago, and it's probably not the thing that you would think would dawn on us on the night, the eve of the NFL season. I have my Super Bowl pick coming up a little bit later on, and I didn't deliberate, I didn't agonize over this, which makes me nervous, because normally I do, and I hate the process of coming up with my Super Bowl pick, but this one just came to me at some point, and it never left me. No, I'm not ready to give it to you yet. No, Paulie, you're going to have to wait.
That's a tease.
Yes, it is. That's a tease, because this will affect, you know, the odds in Vegas of who is going to win the Super Bowl. The bookies are up early in Vegas. They're waiting and they're listening. And I'll give you my Super Bowl pick coming up a little bit later on. But about 10 minutes ago, Seton says, it just dawned on me how much money Tony Romo is going to make broadcasting football games this year. And I said, oh, all right. And then he goes, $17 million a year. He signed a 10-year deal. How many players... does Tony Romo, how many, his salary is bigger than how many players in the NFL? At $17 million a year. Yes, he.
Well, just that contract alone is more than he ever made in the NFL.
Oh.
Holy moly.
So, yeah, Tony Romo, this is the big rollout here. And what is it, $170 million, Paul?
Yeah, and $180 million over 10 years. Tony Romo only made 127 in 14 seasons as a Cowboys quarterback.
Jeepers, creepers.
Wowzers.
What I want to know is, who's the next analyst who gets that kind of money? Because if you're Chris Collinsworth, you're far more, he's the most decorated analyst probably in history. And I wonder if he can go in and say, I think I need to be bumped up a little bit. Or Troy Aikman goes in and says, hey, I think I deserve a little bit more here. Yes, he.
I don't know if you're a guy who's been doing this for a little while that you could be like, oh, by the way, now I want $15 million more a year. Yeah. It's like, this is what's going to get Peyton Manning to come out of the...
But Peyton Manning could have gotten this kind of money.
Yeah, but now he can get even more of that kind of money.
Yeah, I don't know if Peyton Manning wants to do this. I think we want Peyton Manning to do it. I don't think Peyton wants to do it.
So if some network is like, all right, Peyton, we'll give you 10 years, $20 million. All right, excuse me, 10 years, $200 million, $20 million a year to work 20 weeks a year, if that.
Yeah, but I think that he wants to be there for his kids. And I think once they get to a certain age, then he might entertain this. I think we want to see that because we think that Peyton Manning would be, I think Peyton Manning would be even better than Tony Romo. Now, Tony provided almost that voice of enthusiasm, like it's excitement, like he's watching the game with you. And, you know, John Madden did this. John Madden was the first to really give you that sound effects, and he was excited, and it just felt like he was bringing you closer to the game. Collinsworth is so good because his ability to tell you something that is going to happen or something that just happened, and he breaks it down as if he's seen that play five times. And Tony had that excitement of, hey, this play is coming. And I don't know what his prediction success rate was, but it felt like that first year we were enamored with everything that he was doing and how he was doing it. The undersold part of this was Jim Nance's ability to kind of gather whatever Tony Romo did, and then he would be able to bring it back and give you his play-by-play in real time, because that's hard to do. Being the straight guy in a situation like that, it's really difficult to do. And, you know, Dick Vitale, when Dickie V was doing all these marquee games, and then you'd have a play-by-play voice that sort of had to bring it all back. By the way, Dickie V will join us coming up next hour. John Calipari, the Kentucky head coach, will join us. The ACC, all the coaches voted unanimously that they want to have everybody in the NCAA tournament. Everybody goes into the pool. 363 schools get to make March Madness. Now, do you start March Madness in February just to get it all in? I don't know how that works, because March Madness usually ends in April as well. So you might be taking up the end of February through March and then early April. But we'll talk to Coach Cal about that coming up in a little bit. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Last night, it was the Raptors over the Celtics in double overtime. Clippers go up 3-1 on the Nuggets. Lakers, Rockets, that's tonight at 7. And then you have the Texans and Chiefs. So they're flexing into an earlier time slot for the Lakers and the Rockets. Being in the bubble, you can do this. If this was in Los Angeles, I wonder if they would be, if this was being played at Staples, if they would do it or be able to do it. But starts at 7 tonight, and Texans and then the Chiefs. And it's hard to believe the season's kicking off. You know, we didn't have any preseason here, but the NFL had more time than anybody to observe all the leagues, what they did right, what they did wrong. And here we are with football tonight, the Chiefs against the Texans. And for the first time in a long time, the Patriots are not looming large over the AFC. I don't have them making the playoffs. Tom Brady's gone, so Kansas City could be the new dynasty. But I started to wonder about this, you know, that we looked at the Super Bowl, and we know they were down 10 with, 7 minutes to go. You know, they were trailing in all of their games in the postseason. They were down 24-0 to the Texans. And the one play that should stand out in Chiefs history as one of the most underrated plays in the NFL, in NFL history, and I'm not overselling this, Daniel Sorensen stopping the fake punt by the Texans when the Texans were up 24-0. And then I think 24-7, he stops them, and it's 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. And he stops them with a fake punt. And then all of a sudden, they score, and it changed the momentum. So you have that where you're down. They were down 24-0 in that game, rallied to win. Look at the Super Bowl. They were in trouble in the Super Bowl. 6 minutes to go, you're down 10, and Patrick Mahomes was not playing well at all. And you look back on the Patriots dynasty. How many times did they win or lose in dramatic fashion? David Tyree, Mario Manningham with his catch down the sidelines. And then you had Vinatieri with a couple of field goals to win. Malcolm Butler with the interception. Like, when we talk about dynasties, like, it's not dominating. They're just winning. They're surviving. You know, the Patriots could easily have two less Super Bowls or two more Super Bowls. And now we're looking at Kansas City and say, wow, they're a dynasty. They barely survived. And they should have lost the Super Bowl, because San Francisco forgot that Tyreek Hill was the fastest player on the field. And that was another one of those plays. That play and Sorensen's play against the Texans, those are the two that stand out. And Mahomes stayed in there knowing he was going to get hit right in the mouth by Bosa. And he hung in there as long as he could. I think it was a 3rd and 13. So we talk about these dynasties, and the Chiefs, I don't know if they're a dynasty. They could have easily gotten knocked out a couple of times in the postseason before they got to the Super Bowl. They did have a good offseason because they were able to give the contract extension to Mahomes. I love that they brought in Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. And you start to look, they know that their competition is going to be Baltimore. Maybe another team emerges. But they had a lot of things go right for them last year. I don't know if anybody is thinking or was thinking dynasty last year, but we could be talking about this today where the Super Bowl champion 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo would open up the season tonight. Had they won, and we would be looking at the Niners and Jimmy Garoppolo completely different. And then would we be looking at maybe Kansas City still being a dynasty? If San Francisco gives Raheem Mostert the ball on 2nd down and 5, they run the clock. The clock was your friend there. And the Chiefs weren't stopping Mostert. So it was like small things. If Chris Jones doesn't get his hand up and knock the pass down, San Francisco wins. Is Mahomes the face of the sport if he doesn't win and doesn't look good and get a half a billion dollars? So before we go all in on Kansas City and go, they got it all figured out, future's great, it appears that way. You got a great tight end, couple of dangerous wide receivers. You got a electric rookie running back there. You got Andy Reid, still got a good offensive line. Defense is good, good enough. So before we want to, I think, put that rubber stamp and go, there's your next dynasty. Maybe it is, but understand that these dynasties, it's very fragile as far as, if you don't have the tuck rule, if they don't impose that bogus tuck rule with Brady against the Raiders and Charles Woodson, then Vinatieri doesn't kick the field goal to send them to a Super Bowl. Vinatieri winning a couple of Super Bowls. What if he misses one of the two? So when you look back and you go, gosh, that they were a dynasty. You know, in our modern definition of a dynasty, they are. But they barely won games, barely lost games. And Kansas City could have easily flamed out early in the postseason. But, you know, with that, we have Kansas City against the Texans. If you're Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Texans, do you show the game footage from last year's meeting with the Chiefs? Do you start the tape at 24-0? or do you stop at 24-0? Yeah, because that's where you go in and you'd go, oh, we got to watch game film from last year. Oh, do we have to? Because I don't want you walking out with your, you know, this glazed over look like, oh my God, what just happened? Because if it's not already inside you, I mean, that is painful. And then I go back to the Patriots against the Atlanta Falcons. If the Falcons run the ball three times, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And they threw the ball. And then Matt Ryan gets sacked. And then all of a sudden, everybody said the same thing. Patriots going to win another Super Bowl. And you know what? The Falcons knew the Patriots were going to win another Super Bowl. They had time and they had Tom. But that's how close it is to, you could win, you could lose. And I think we think dynasties is you beat everybody by two touchdowns. And it's not. I mean, there are teams that have gone through history. I don't think the Cowboys, you know, they had the game against Buffalo, or no. They blew them out too. I don't know if the Cowboys, with their three-year run, were those Super Bowls close at all? Because they probably weren't. Green Bay Packers, when they won their first two Super Bowls, those games weren't close. But I think Dallas roughed up just about everybody, if I'm not mistaken there. Is that right, McLovin?
I believe so. Was the first one might have been a little close? I can't even remember. Remember there was one? Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay.
But the Broncos, yeah, they were fodder.
Yes, they were. Yes, Bowling.
I'm watching back the clips from the Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs last year, and Houston's up 24-0 in the second quarter, and the defensive backs on the Houston sidelines are dancing around or waving towels or laughing at each other and having fun, and it's like they don't know what's coming, but we do when you're watching the replay. There's this big truck about to be unleashed, and it's going to roll downhill on you, and they're sitting there dancing around.
But nothing worse than the Falcons sidelines when they're up 28-3. And the mics are on. NFL Films is picking up the audio, the ambient sound, and that came back to haunt you. Yeah, see.
I forget who it is, but the Mohamed Sanu was like, oh, man, we're good. We got it. Whatever. And the guy next to him going, nah, man, that's Tom Brady.
I know.
He's like, shh, don't say that. Don't say that. That's Tom Brady. He's like, no, we're good. We're good. Bye. No, hey, dude, shh, don't say that.
That was the only voice of reason on the sidelines because you're up 28-3 and you're like, we're going to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, McLovin.
We're having a side argument here. There's no way the Texans were coming out of that game with a win or even a cover. I thought, like, even though it was 24-0, the Niners obviously could have won, definitely could have won. But did it feel like no matter what happened, the Chiefs were winning that Texans game? I don't know why. Maybe that's Monday morning quarterback.
Well, it was 24-0. And you have Deshaun Watson. Like, I have to be respectful to that team. I'm not big on Bill O'Brien as their coach, but they were up 24-0. You knew Kansas City would come back because they had some firepower. I didn't know if the Chiefs' defense could step up, because that was the big difference. To me, I expected the Chiefs' offense to be great. I just didn't know if the Texans' defense was going to be formidable. Like, were they going to be able to play defense, and were they going to score more points here? Because the Chiefs had to step up, and the Chiefs' defense stepping up when they needed to, that was the difference here. And I expected Mahomes to put up points. Yeah, McClellan.
Is there any chance the Texans have a bit of a revenge game tonight? Like,
it's a little late for revenge.
But nobody's talking about the Texans as even competing tonight. Is there any way, even after losing Hopkins, that like they shock the world? Because you know how these opening night games are. They're a little wonky.
Well, they can win now, but to win a game in September is not a revenge match. But if you win in January, that's a revenge match when it really means something. This is just the season opener. And they're probably going to look sluggish. You know, I don't know if it's the offenses that don't look great to start out with, because there's no preseason there. But I'm going to guess we have some raggedy football coming up this weekend. Yeah, Paul.
You brought up the 49ers. They had the ball on 1st and 10. Up 20-10 against the Chiefs. They give the ball to Mostert. He gets 6 yards. Incompletion.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And then incompletion.
Yeah. Oh, man.
The clock is your friend. And Mostert was great. And it just felt like this is what their success is predicated on, running the football. And if you have to have Jimmy Garoppolo throw a pass, okay. But at least he benefits from, you know, 3rd and 4, 2nd and 5. But in that situation, I don't want to throw the football.
It actually happened twice. It happened with 10 minutes left in the game. They're up 10. Mostert runs for 6 yards on 1st down. Then they're up 20-17 with 6 minutes to go in the game. Mostert runs for 5 yards on 1st down. Incomplete pass, punt.
Yeah. And that was it. That was it. Yeah. So you look at these moments and go back to that fake punt, because if they don't punt it, I mean, you know, you put Kansas City, the momentum shift was so strange. It was tangible on the field. When you're watching, you're going, why did they just have a fake punt? It was one of those where everything was going right. And they had another opportunity where they could have gone up 28-0, but they kicked a field goal instead. It's like, what's the Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis, the body switch movie?
The two teams switched.
Yeah. What is that movie? Freaky Friday? I act like I didn't know. Freaky Friday, is that what it is there? Yes. Yeah, I know. I think I answered too quickly.
Are you confused? No, is it The Parent Trap or Freaky Friday? Because there's two. No, I think you're right. Freaky Friday.
I just love that Hollywood keeps going back to the, I got an idea for a movie.
Yeah.
They're going to switch bodies.
Yeah.
Right?
Someone called Judge Reinhold.
Follow me on this, okay?
Yeah.
There's two people, and then somehow they switch bodies. Right? You with me?
Yeah. I love it. Or 13 going on 30, which I do love.
Who's in that?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh.
Mark Ruffalo in that.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo plays her boyfriend.
If you want to do a whole segment on rom-coms after 90s rock yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
And they had the change-up, right, with Ryan Reynolds and Jason Bateman, where they were in each other's bodies. That was a 2011 movie called The Change-Up.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But, Freaky Friday, that's kind of what happened with the Chiefs and the Texans. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, did you go all of the body switch? Kirk Cameron, Judge Reinhold, Fred Savage. They've done it at least 40. Yeah, see, you didn't watch movies in 1994.
I was getting busy.
These two guys walk into a funhouse on the Coney Island boardwalk, okay? Follow me on this, right? And they look into a mirror, and then all of a sudden...
Well, you had Tom Hanks in Big, where, you know, he became a younger version or... something like that. This program brought to you by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com today to take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. I loved Big. I thought Big was a brilliant movie. with the, you know, just the tone of it, and Tom Hanks playing a little guy, a little boy. Yes, McLovin.
I saw on a podcast the other day that Robert De Niro desperately wanted that role in Big. Or maybe we talked about it here, or maybe I heard from one of you guys. Can you imagine him in that movie?
Playing the role of Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
No. No. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Robert De Niro, how he ended up doing like Analyze This is because he wanted to do a comedy. He wanted to break out from the tough guy mafia roles. And he lobbied to be in the movie Big, and they said no, and they gave it to Tom Hanks. And then after that, De Niro was still pushing to be in a comedy. And he either did Analyze This or Meet the Fockers or something. But he wanted Big.
Midnight Run.
Midnight Run.
Midnight Run, that's it.
Midnight Run, he was great. That's a great buddy movie. Great. But, yeah, I thought he deserved an Academy Award nomination for Meet the Fockers.
He was great in that.
He was. His comedic timing was spectacular. But we don't honor, you know, comedy the way we should. And it's the toughest thing to do. By the way, nobody is talking about this today. I don't think so. We are setting the table for other shows.
Fresh off of 90s pop rock.
No, I know.
Yesterday, we're leading the show with Body Switch movies.
And then
football's back.
People who reached out yesterday after the show, all they did is send, like, you know, one of their favorite bands of the 90s. That's all they would text me.
I have a good this day in 90s music history, by the way.
I got to take a break here. By the way, there is football coming up tonight. We will talk to Dick Vitale. He's got a new book out about the lost season. LSU's going to allow fans at games. We'll talk about that. The Braves scored 29 on the Marlins, and they won, by the way. But I don't know about that unwritten rule. Like, are you allowed to keep swinging for home runs when you're up like 24 runs, something like that? I don't know. I'm waiting to hear the purists tell me about that. Raptors beating the Celtics in double overtime. We got a game 7. Clippers up 3-1 on the Nuggets. Lakers, Rockets tonight. Texans, Chiefs. We are just getting started. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. DraftKings is ready for you. Are you ready for DraftKings? Because it's time to celebrate kickoff to the football season. DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $1 million top prize and a total of $3 million up for grabs tonight. Get in on tonight's single game showdown. It's easy. All you have to do is download DraftKings and use the promo code SQUAD. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game like having a shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code SQUAD. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $3 million in total prizes. Don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code SQUAD to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's once again promo code SQUAD at DraftKings.com. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And remember, the promo code is SQUAD. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Come up with a poll question. McLovin, you got a couple of suggestions for us today.
Yes, I can hold the best body swap movies, which is the debate going on over here. Big is the number one on most lists.
So. Yeah, Big was a great movie.
There's 143 of them.
But body swapping?
Yeah, they even have a list of different methods of how the body swap happened. Car accident, DNA manipulation, magic whales. It goes on. Seton's right. This has been pitched and bought many times in Hollywood.
I like Freaky Friday with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan. I do.
Okay. some poll questions. Should the Braves have stopped?
How about that? I won't watch Harry Potter movies or Star Trek or Star Wars, but you give me Freaky Friday and I'm right there.
A father switches bodies with his son and gets a chance to redo the prom he never went to. Huh? Isn't that, and then it fixes all of the wrongs that ever happened in his life.
That's the elevator pitch. Yes, McLovin, what's poll question?
Oh, by the way, time travel movies are also awesome, I want to add. But should the Braves have stopped hitting home runs last night, yes or no?
No.
Do they really need to be piling on grand slams when they're up 20-7 or something?
Well, what are you supposed to do? Like, so you're going to take a strikeout? What are you supposed to do?
a clean single to left. I don't know. It just felt like piling on.
But don't you think if you're scoring 10, they can score 10? There's no clock in baseball. This whole, you know, unwritten rules. Your job is to get me out. My job is to get on base and score runs. Like that. That's we know that. Everybody knows the transaction here. You want to get me out. You want to strike me out. You want to point at me when you strike me out. Great. You want a homer. You want a bat flip. You want to celebrate. Go ahead. Have some fun. And baseball doesn't have fun. Now, the Braves last night, you want to keep hitting home runs? Great. I didn't hear anybody say, yeah, well, unwritten rules. But, you know, if Fernando Tatis Jr. does this, oh, I don't like the way he plays. So what? Get him out. Yeah, Todd.
Until they put in a mercy rule, then you got to do what you got to do. It'd be far more humiliating, I would think, for a pitcher of the other team if you're standing there with a bat on your shoulders or purposely missing pitches and swinging wildly.
Yeah, just go up there and just, you know, swing real slow, strike out. Like these guys want, they want stats. Everything you do, how you get paid is based off your numbers. So now you're supposed to go, nah, I'm not going to be cashing in on a bad pitcher here. Yeah. I'm going to wait until, you know, we have to face Clayton Kershaw here. Yeah, McLevin.
But is there a line like doing a full court press when you're up by 30 or something, or doing a trick play in football when you're up by a few touchdowns?
Well, I think that is different. You know, that's really kind of, you know, put in somebody's face where you're trying to truly embarrass them. But if you're going to be up by, I don't know, four touchdowns and it's 2 minutes to go and you throw a 50-yard bomb, then I could see where teams are going to be a little chafed with that. But in baseball, how do I take a knee? You know, in football, you can just hand the ball off. You know, I'm going to hand the ball off. And you're basically saying, we know the game is over. You know the game is over. What do you do in baseball? You just hit a dribbler, like you're trying to hit a dribbler to third. You're going to put down a bunt and bunt it right back to the pitcher. Like, I would take offense to that. Yeah, see.
But if the team that's up by, you know, 20 runs gives up, the other team has to give up too.
Yeah.
You must, like, just end the game then.
Yeah.
Everybody agree to strike out from here on in.
And that's what we brought up, and Paulie brought that up too. It's like, okay, one team is going to give up, then the other team can't go, we're still fighting and clawing, and it can't. If you agree not to come back, then fine.
Right.
But I saw the numbers there with the Braves, and I went, all right, it's fine. Like, I'm okay with it. You know, I put the blame, you know, on the pitching staff. That was so bad that they're giving up 29 runs. But I don't think anybody said, you know, unwritten rules. Why is Duvall swinging for the downs there when you're up by 22 runs? Go up there. You got a bat? Use it. You got a baseball? Strike him out. Yeah, McLevin.
I'm always impressed when guys dribble the ball out at the end of the game. As a former bench warmer, that's an important stat opportunity. You know, I would always take the layup, wouldn't you?
Yes. If I could, I would. Doesn't mean I wouldn't get knocked on my butt, but I would do it if I could. Yeah, Paulie.
By the way, with the body switching movies, are we including movies where you have an alternate life? Is that in the genre of body switching movies? For example, there was a movie in 1990, Mr. Destiny, with Jim Belushi, where he strikes out in the big game as an eighth grader, and you know his life goes bad after that. And somehow he has a magic cocktail served, of course, by Michael Caine, and he hits the home run, and his life turns out to be awesome. And he gets another shot at the life he wanted.
Mm.
It's really bad and good at the same time.
Yeah, Seton.
See, I put body switch movies in its own category. Because like somebody had brought up Trading Places. That's not a body switch movie. That's just like a life switch movie.
Yeah.
Where one person's life goes this way and the other one goes that way. That's not where the mother goes inside the body of the daughter and the daughter goes inside the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's a body switch movie.
Yeah. Now that we've got the rules, the guidelines set, let the debate begin. Yes, McLevin.
That's called, what Paul is talking about, it's called the sliding doors movie. That's, everybody calls it that. That's a real term. Sliding doors where Gwyneth Paltrow decides to step off a subway and her life changes. That's like the penultimate. Actually, what does penultimate mean? I don't know. But that's like the
Is
big.
Is that like next to last?
Yes.
did anybody ever come up with a pen called penultimate?
I think you just did.
I did. And we'll get the Dan Patrick Show logo on it.
Bang.
The penultimate. We are going to be rich.
Make it rain.
Penultimate. Last but one in a series of things. Second last.
Who was the penultimate of the Danettes?
Todd.
Second to last.
I'm usually coming to last place. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an upgrade.
Wait, so Todd is second to last?
He was, yeah.
Who is last? McLevin?
Yeah, he came on a little later, so.
Okay.
Yeah, Paul was in first. I was in second. Todd was in third. Andrew was in.
Oh, okay. First. Oh, the hiring process. I just thought by value contribution.
That's a whole different.
And that's why I was like, wow, Todd moving up. He's next to last.
In other news, how about The Family Man, Nicolas Cage, 2000? He wished he had a different life, less stressful than being the investment banker with all the money. That was a pretty good movie, too.
Do you realize Nicolas Cage has the makings of being the next Morgan Freeman, of being in more movies than anybody? Because I didn't even realize Nicolas Cage has been in, like, there's 10 movies that I had never even heard of, but he's in them. And I go, when did he shoot him? When did they release him? Nicolas Cage has been in a lot of movies.
He's got a new one coming out soon, too.
Of
that
course
looks like
he
a
does.
Banger. It looks so good.
You're right. In 2019 and 2018, he was in 11 movies.
Yes.
I don't know any of them. I'll read them to you. You won't believe them. Jiu-Jitsu, Grand Isle, Primal, Kill Chain.
Wait, slow down.
Kill Chain.
Running with the Devil, Color Out of Space, A Score to Settle. They're all... Between Worlds, 2:11, Looking Glass, Mandy.
Mandy was phenomenal.
I would go through like Netflix or, you know, these streaming services or Peacock, and you see, look, a Nicolas Cage movie. I'll go, I know that one. Look at that, Nicolas Cage.
Don't sleep on one of the greatest comebacks in movie history. With Nicolas Cage.
Well, I'm wondering if Quentin Tarantino can do for Nicolas Cage what he did for John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. I said it. Although Tarantino's not making movies anymore. I think he's done. But if he does, his comeback will coincide with Nicolas Cage's comeback. Yes.
I love, too, that Nicolas Cage has one of those great stories where he made, you know, like $250 million and blew it all on castles and samurai swords.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, this guy is just...
like a man.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't spend your money that way? Yeah. Yes, Todd.
Since you mentioned Cage and Travolta, how about Face Off? That was quite a movie.
No, it was not.
You did not like that movie.
I did not like that one.
I watched that surgery so they had each other's face.
I got to admit, I watched Face Off twice this week. It's I'm not kidding.
Face Off is pretty good.
No, it's not. Yes, McLovin.
Face Off is awesome.
No.
By the way, Nicolas Cage is going to play Joe Exotic in a TV movie about the Tiger
King.
Here
he comes.
Joe Exotic should play Nick Cage.
That makes
He's
so much sense.
He's boring compared to Nick Cage.
And then Nick Cage was married to Elvis's daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And then I think he got married to a waitress at a restaurant where he was having sushi, and I think he met a waitress and got married. I don't know if they're still married. There's probably a really fascinating story. And then... can we get Nick Cage on there, Fritzy?
I think he'll be awesome. Wasn't he also in that movie, It Could Happen to You, with the lottery? And he gave like a waitress like $1 million.
Bridget Fonda.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, was in that. But then what? His Francis Ford Coppola is his...
His actual name is Nick Coppola.
Yeah. So is Francis his uncle? Is that right? Yes, Seton.
Texans Chiefs, by the way, tonight, 8:20 Eastern.
Oh, that's right. We now resume our regularly scheduled programming. We'll take a break. We'll settle on our poll question. I think we got thrown off by Tony Romo's salary for some reason. We started the show with that where we go, you know, Tony Romo is going to make $17 million a year doing 20 games, maybe. Good for him. Play of the Day's up next. We'll get your poll question, and Dick Vitale will join us a little bit later on, as will the Kentucky coach, John Calipari, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Play of the day.
check this out.
102 Duval, high fly ball to left field. We are witnessing something truly historic.
Wow.
A grand slam by Adam Duval. And it's now 29-9. And a three home run game for the second time in a week for Adam Duval.
So it was 25-9, and he hits a grand slam. I have no problem with it. Braves hang 29 on the Marlins, most scored by a National League team in the modern era. Duval had three homers and nine RBIs. This is the second straight Wednesday with a three-home run game. Last week it was against the Red Sox. That's courtesy of WCNN 680, The Fan. In Atlanta. Play of the day brought to you by LegalZoom. During these unprecedented times, you can rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com today. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Jason Peters of the Eagles is getting a pay raise. According to Adam Schefter, he wanted a new deal. He's going to get upwards of $8 million, including $4 million in guaranteed. This according to Adam Schefter. Jason Peters, a Hall of Famer, McLovin?
Yes.
Nine-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
Got a Super Bowl.
The money here is about they signed him to play right tackle, I believe,
yes.
And then their left tackle got hurt. So is that fair to give you a raise when you switch positions in camp? It feels like a weird precedent. It's a side question. Why don't the Patriots give Cam Newton more money now that he's a starter, too? I was wondering. I mean, it still strikes me $1 million is so low.
But why would you give him more if you don't have to give him more?
The Eagles gave Peters more just to keep him happy.
Well, Peters has been there for a long time. I mean, Cam just got there. And Cam's more of an unknown this year than Jason Peters is. And he maybe had some leverage. I don't think Cam has any leverage. But he will. If he plays well, he's going to get paid a lot of money. Yes,
Patriots should give Julian Edelman more money. Dude's been getting his brains beaten in for how many years, and now he's the last one standing. Throw him an extra million.
Oh, God. I had somebody who cornered me over the weekend and wanted to tell me about Julian Edelman being a Hall of Famer.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. Oh. But I just said, he's not a Hall of Famer. Yeah, but you know what? What you do in the postseason, you always talk about how that should overshadow what you do in the regular season. I said, well, should it overshadow what you do in the regular season? So Clayton Kershaw doesn't perform well in the postseason. Therefore, that overshadows everything he does in the regular season. Greg Maddux didn't perform well in the postseason. Should that overshadow everything he did during the regular season? Julian Edelman is, you know, on the short list of great postseason performers. Absolutely. I mean, second in playoff receptions to Jerry Rice. He's had some of the greatest catches, most important catches in Super Bowl history. But he's not a Hall of Famer. He hadn't even been an All-Pro. He hadn't been a Pro Bowl player. Has anybody ever gone into the Hall of Fame without making a Pro Bowl? I don't think so. Yeah, Paul.
He has twice as many playoff receptions as Julio Jones, twice as many as Larry Fitzgerald. He has more than twice as many as Terrell Owens.
I just saw this. The Rockets reserve Daniel House Jr. is under investigation by the NBA for allegedly allowing a female COVID-19 testing official into his hotel room. His status for the remainder of the Western Conference semis against the Lakers is in question. This according to our good buddy Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. House maintains his innocence. Veteran center Tyson Chandler and House were ruled out of Game 3 on Tuesday for, quote, personal reasons. Opposing teams are closely monitoring how the league handles this situation. House is a good player. I mean, you got to have his contribution. He averaged 11 points. You know, he's a decent three-point shooter. And here you are down 2-1. Yeah, Seton.
Well, it's getting tested. Well, I was just, she came in, I was just getting tested. That's all.
Safety first.
Yeah.
You got big problems, though, by the way, if you can't trust the people that are giving the tests. Or am I misreading the story that it was a testing official into his room?
I think it might have been maybe more than just a, hey, you're coming in to test me.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They don't give you room service.
Right. Yeah, that's the joke that I'm making. But then, aside from the joke, that you have bigger problems if you can't trust the people that you've hired to work there to follow the rules. Like it's a COVID-19 testing official, and they broke the rules.
Yes, Fox.
And if this isn't against the rules, every guy in the bubble is going to be buying lab coats and stethoscopes and handing them out to hot women.
Everybody is going to want to get tested. A couple times a day, going to get tested. Yes, COVID-19 testing. Hold on. Yes, Todd.
So basically, you got to keep your house in order if you have any chance of beating the Lakers.
Okay, all right. There's the windup, and there's the pitch. The Raptors are the third team in NBA history to win multiple overtime games in order to force a game seven. They joined the Bucks in 74, the Bulls in 2009, and the Celtics, here they are, game seven. But if you don't have that shot, OG Anunoby, if he doesn't hit that shot, then the series is probably over. Boston's up 3-1. Now you go to a game seven. And remember when Kyle Lowry had this label of, you know, playoff choker, for lack of a better way to describe it, but he didn't perform up to the standards that you would expect with Kyle Lowry. That's distant memory. Kyle Lowry has been great. He obviously won the title last year, and we look at him differently. Pascal Siakam has been the big disappointment, because I thought, you know, that he could be the difference maker, and he still can be. But this Boston team and what happened last night, I got Kemba Walker with the ball in his hands. You know, did he shoot too soon, or did he say, all right, I'm going to take it. Now I have an opportunity. This is the best time to shoot. Like, people always go, why don't you wait until the last second? If I can get – I want to get a good shot. Like, that's the goal. Get a good shot. Not take the shot with 0.8 seconds to go, because chances are that your defender knows the clock is ticking, and then they crowd you even – they make it even tougher. I would like to shoot when I don't need to, you know, you don't know that I'm going to be shooting. But and then Nick Nurse was on the floor last night. I mean, you got to tee him up.
So he's in the corner. His feet, one of his feet is on the baseline.
Yeah.
And Tatum is driving, and his one of his teammates a few feet to the left. He throws the ball right to Nurse. Nurse tries to jump out of the way, knowing he's in the wrong.
Yeah.
Do you think the officials got caught flat-footed and didn't know what to call there? Because I think if they had a do-over, they'd have to tee him up.
Can't they review that? Like, I don't know if they can review it in the moment, but just to see where he was on the court. But he shouldn't have been there. And Jason Tatum said, look, I'm not going to blame it on Nick Nurse, you know, but he shouldn't have been on the floor. The Celtic fans are blaming it on Nick Nurse. Whew. Celtic fans on Twitter last night. Man, it was not a pretty place to be. But Nick Nurse... I don't know if the NBA, you know, fines him for being on the floor in a situation like that. I mean, I don't know. Feels like the NBA is just like, can we get through to the postseason? Can we get the Lakers and Clippers playing? Like, let's just hurry up here. Yeah, see.
I don't think it was Nick Nurse that stripped the ball from Jaylen Brown every time he went down the court. Boom. Yeah,
okay.
Said it.
All right.
Roasted.
Okay. Nick Levin, we still didn't come up with a poll question, did we?
Yeah, we have some all right. So, awesome options.
All right, so we have to do that coming up here at top of the hour.
Yeah, you're going to be impressed with this.
I doubt that. And my Super Bowl pick will be coming up in the final hour of the show. I want to drag it out. Big build up there. Big surprise.